This piece contains adult language and violence and may not be suitable for younger audiences. The Enigmatic Invasion, Part 1. Year, unknown. Earth has been ravaged by a mysterious enemy, an enigmatic invader. We are in a foggy open field with no signs of life except for structures damaged by days or perhaps weeks of crossfire. The space suddenly becomes engulfed in fog, a chalky haze, almost too thick to see through. The sound of gunfire erupts in the background. At first it is faint, but becomes louder as it gets closer. Amidst the gunshots, we can begin to hear the sounds of laser beams being discharged in the distance. Like the gunfire, it starts off faint, but increases in volume until it overtakes the gunfire. Aaron comes rushing in, armed with a gun, one that's simple and modern, but effective. She returns fire against the storm of lasers raining down behind her, until she takes over behind a barrier. She peers around the side, carefully scanning the ground ahead, but a barrage of beams forces her back behind her cover. Mitch comes running in, also carrying a gun. He leaps over the top of the barrier and joins Aaron behind cover.
You all right?
I'm good.
Where's Dodge and Kit?
Hell if I know.
What? Weren't they with you?
That's not my problem.
God, you're such a dick.
But I'm alive.
Explosions of laser beams ring out all around. Mitch and Aaron both duck behind the barrier, then peer over the top and return fire until Aaron spots something in the distance.
Hey, look, it's them. There they are.
See that? They're fine.
They don't look fine. It looks like Dodge is hurt. Come on, we have to get out there and help them.
Best of luck, sister. I'm not going out there.
Seriously, fuck you.
Aaron reloads her weapon. She takes a deep breath, then rushes out into the storm, returning fire every step of the way until she is off stage. Mitch watches intently from behind the barrier. After a moment, Aaron re-enters with Dodge and Kit. Dodge is badly injured and being carried to the barrier with each of his arms over the shoulders of Kit and Aaron. Mitch provides cover fire as best as he can until they make it to the other side of the barrier.
God, you're bleeding bad. Where are you hurt?
I think it's my leg, mostly.
Can you walk on it at all?
I can barely stand up. Hey!
Ouch!
What the hell's the matter with you? You saw me go down back there, and you ran like a little bitch.
What?
That's right. If Kit hadn't come along when she did, I would be dead out there somewhere.
Lying sack of shit.
Lying sack of shit.
Oh, that's you.
I don't understand. Why do you all keep this one around?
I'm about to show you why.
Mitch pulls a Molotov cocktail and a lighter out of his backpack. Aaron, Kit, and Dodge all start to panic.
Hey,
what are you doing?
Don't light that.
He ignores their pleas and warnings. He lights the Molotov cocktail and hurls it over the top of the barrier. All four duck and cover as the cocktail detonates with a massive explosion, silencing the sprays of laser beams. The four get up once the blast dissipates.
You see that? That's why. Because I know how to survive. And I'm sorry if it hurts anyone's feelings, but dragging around a gimp isn't it. Now, the only reason that most of you are still alive is because I just happened to be around and was willing to do what had to be done so we could walk away. Hell, that's the only reason any of you are still alive, except for you, Kit. But that's just because you haven't been around that long yet, so give it time.
Fine, then. Why do you roll with us if we're such a burden?
Simple. Strength in numbers. My odds are just better in a group than they are on my own. That being said, I'm getting the hell out of here before more of those things show up and I'm making camp in the woods. Tree cover might buy us a little time. Y'all can come if you want.
Mitch puts his backpack back on and walks off towards the woods. Aaron and Kit hesitate with looks of disgust on their faces. but ultimately follow. They help Dodge up and sling him over their shoulders, then follow Mitch into the woods.
Scene two. A tiny clearing in the woods. A small, modest campsite is set up, clearly designed to draw little attention and to be packed up and carried off at a moment's notice. Kit is sitting quietly in front of a small fire. Mitch is reclined on the ground using his backpack as a pillow. Dodge is sitting on the ground and his back leaning against a tree while Aaron bandages his leg.
This looks pretty bad.
Hurts pretty bad.
We may have to lay low here for a few days, at least until you can walk on it.
Hell no. I'm not staying here any longer than tonight. Whoever those things are, they can move. Staying in one place for too long is just a surefire way to get killed.
Nobody asked you. If you want to leave, feel free.
I hate to admit it, but sleazebag Mitch over there might be right this time. I don't think you all will make it with me hobbling around.
That's what I like to hear. The voice of reason.
Just shut up, both of you. I'm so sick of this.
You're sick of staying alive?
I'm sick of surviving.
You would prefer the alternative.
What's so great about being alive if you're always getting shot at and scavenging for your next meal? Surviving isn't the same thing.
That's right. The only reason I'm still clawing about like this is because my wife and kids are still out there somewhere.
I'm trying to find my family too. Only thing that makes this shit worth it.
By what logic exactly do the two of you think your families are still out there?
Oh, shut up.
Such an asshole.
All right, Jesus, sorry for being rational.
A brief moment of awkward silence goes by.
Hey, Kit, why don't you grab that radio out of my bag? See if you can pick up a signal.
That ratchet thing hasn't picked up a signal since you found it.
You never know. Could be our lucky night.
What are you expecting to hear anyway? Need some smooth jazz while dodging laser beams?
I was hoping for some information. Maybe somewhere we could find some people or supplies or who knows. Maybe they even figured out what these things are by now.
I doubt it.
Aren't you at least curious?
I was until they started shooting and incinerating everything.
Well, I sure am. These things have taken over completely, and we can't even get a good look at them. Not before they spray that fog everywhere and start blasting everything up.
I got pretty close to one once.
Yeah, and could you see it?
Not much before it smoke screened me.
Did you see anything at all? Did it look human?
It definitely moved like one, except faster and more nimble. More like an animal, really, except...
Except what?
Well, it sounded mechanical, like it had bionic limbs or something, cranking them every time it moved. It's just what I thought I heard before I had to go get the hell out of there or else.
Guys, wait. I think I hear something.
Something from the radio?
No, something in the distance. I don't think we're alone out here anymore.
Shit. Can you and Mitch scout ahead?
If I go out there and I find something, the last place I'm running to is back here.
It's fine. I can go by myself.
But you shouldn't.
You better go ahead with her. She's more likely to make it out of here anyway.
I'll be back.
Good luck.
You're useless.
You wish.
Come on, Kit.
Kit and Aaron both take up guns and exit.
Hey, let's have some fun with this. I'll bet you 5 rounds of ammo and a piece of fruit that Aaron makes it back here, but Kit doesn't.
Just shut up, man. Damn. I don't even want to talk to you right now. You left me for dead out there.
What? Like you wouldn't have done the same to me?
Hell no. I couldn't live with myself after leaving a man to die alone in a field like that. I'm trying to find my wife and kids. That's not the man I want to bring back to them.
You see that? That's exactly why you're the one laid up right now. Because you're soft. If I had dragged your ass off that field, odds are I'd be laid up right next to you. Then my days would be really numbered.
And what exactly is it that you have to live for?
Sure don't have anything to die for.
The way I see it, you've got nothing to die for. You've got nothing to live for. So what is it you care about so much that you want to stay alive at all costs?
I care about making it out of this, whatever this is, and I'm gonna just you watch if you're still around anyway.
The sound of laser beams fire off in the distance.
What was that?
You know what that was?
Mitch jumps up and grabs his backpack.
Hope you're not expecting me to carry your crippled ass out of here.
I'm not.
He starts gathering up all the supplies as fast as he can, hoarding everything that he can carry.
Hey, what the hell are you doing? All that stuff isn't yours.
Who's gonna stop me? You?
Josh pulls his gun on Mitch. He cocks it and Mitch freezes.
Damn right. I know what you're thinking. And yes, I will kill you.
Mitch starts putting all the supplies back down. Dodge lowers his gun. Kit re-enters, but quietly enough that neither one sees her right away. Mitch takes off his backpack, reaches into it, then whips out a pistol and shoots Dodge dead with no hesitation. He tucks the pistol back into his bag. Just as he starts to gather his supplies, he looks up to see Kit. He pulls the gun back out and holds it on her.
Don't shoot.
Why the hell not?
I won't tell anyone. There aren't that many of them back there. Erin's holding them off. She sent me to get you and Dodge and said she'd meet us at the north edge of the woods. We can just tell her Moore showed up and that Dodge didn't make it.
You swear it?
Yes. It's like you've been saying, I just want to survive.
Mitch lowers the gun and puts it away.
Great. Now let's get out of here.
They quickly pack up the camp. Mitch runs off as soon as he gathers everything he can carry.
Don't expect me to slow down for you either.
Mitch exits. Kit gathers up the last of what she can carry. She looks at Dodge's dead body, then off in the direction that Mitch ran, then at the audience. She exits. End of part one. This piece contains adult language and violence, which may not be suitable for younger audiences. The Enigmatic Invasion, part two, written by Will Taylor. The north edge of the woods, the dark, thick forest opens up into another desecrated field. Mitch comes rushing out of the forest, power walking ahead as fast as he can. Kit comes rushing out after him.
Hey, hold up.
I told you I wasn't going to slow down for you.
Not for me. Erin is still back there somewhere.
If she makes it out of those woods, chances are those things are going to be following her. No point in bringing it on ourselves.
She risked her life to give us a head start. Are you really going to just leave her like that?
God, both you and Doug. Look, in case you haven't noticed, we don't exactly live in a perfect world. The Do-Gooder Act may have been cute back in the olden days, and we would all like to feel warm and fuzzy inside right now, but if you're not willing to do whatever you gotta do to make it, you're not going to make it. Just look at what happened to Dodge.
Dodge wasn't killed by them. He was killed by you, someone he trusted.
Dodge didn't trust me.
You made the choice, not him.
You swore you weren't going to bring that up.
You brought it up, and all I swore was that I wouldn't tell Erin, which was only because you had a gun to my face.
Mitch stops and whips around. He reaches for his weapon. Kit reaches for hers. Both freeze once they have a hand on their guns. They stare each other down. A tense moment goes by.
Fuck it.
He turns around and starts to walk away.
Where are you going?
You want to go back into those woods after Erin? More power to you. But I'm not coming with. No heroes in this story. Just victims and...
How much ammo do you have left?
Why?
Because I have the bag with all the spare.
Mitch stops and pulls out his gun. He releases the magazine and gnashes his teeth at what he finds. He holsters his weapon.
When did you get so brave? You weren't so ballsy until just now. Fine, give me a cartridge.
Not a chance.
I'm going to need one if we're going to go back in there to get Erin, aren't I? If you want me to go into battle with you with an empty weapon, then forget it. My odds are better off on my own and without bullets.
You're not going to help save Erin. You never were.
Then why do you want to keep me around so badly? Go ahead. Admit it. You don't think you can survive without me?
I'd be better off without you.
Why do you care so much if I stay or go?
A beat. Kit and Mitch stare intently, aggressively, and suspiciously into each other's eyes. As soon as Kit opens her mouth to respond, Mitch punches her square in the face. Kit falls to the ground. Mitch reaches down and grabs her by the backpack. He tries to pull away, but Mitch outmuscles her and pulls her towards him. She starts to fight him off. They both go to the ground, oblivious to the boulder only a matter of feet away. They grapple, struggle, roll, and exchange blows as he continually tries to pry her backpack off of her and she resists. Mitch gets increasingly aggressive until Kit's head gets bashed into the boulder. She falls unconscious with her head bleeding badly.
God damn it.
He starts to remove her backpack until he hears a click from behind. He stops and he turns around to see Aaron holding her gun on him.
She attacked me first, I swear.
Sure she did. Where's Dodge? He attack you too?
He never made it out of the woods.
I can see that. I bought into your bullshit, you know? About how you may be an asshole, but our odds are still better with you than they are without? How? I'm not so sure.
Fine. Couldn't agree more. So let's just part ways now. You can keep whatever supplies she's got on her. Guess it's only fair since you're the one with a gun. But you know you don't want to kill me, Aaron.
It's not about want. None of this was ever about want.
Look, I'm just trying to walk away. You can hold the gun on me until I'm out of sight, but what reason do you have to kill me? You're not the only one in danger right now. If you kill me like this, then you're just like one.
Like who, Mitch? Like you?
Just behind Mitch, you can see Kit climb to her feet. Blood is running down her face from the nasty gash on her head. She brandishes a large, round, gun-like apparatus and points it at Mitch's back. She pulls the trigger and fires a blue, staticky ray into him. Mitch convulses as a powerful shockwave runs through his body. He falls to the ground unconscious.
Kit! God, I'm so glad you're alive!
Kit points at Aaron and fires a ray into her. Aaron convulses, collapses, and falls to the ground unconscious. Kit reaches into her pocket and pulls out a small homing device, something resembling a tiny remote control. A red light is flashing steadily on top. Kit presses the center button and the light blinks faster. We hear the cranking and squeaking of mechanical limbs. Kit looks up to see two tall, very muscular, humanoid, robotic figures approaching. They move like humans, only faster and more nimble, more like animals.
Here they are.
The two humanoid bots pick up Mitch and Aaron and carry them off. Kit follows close behind. Scene 2. A dark, steel-enclosed room. A light comes on. Mitch and Aaron are lying unconscious on the floor. They start to wake up.
What happened?
I'm not sure.
Now where are we?
I don't know that either.
Where's Kit?
Stop asking me questions!
They both search themselves for their weapons and discover that they are now unarmed. Kit's voice is projected over the room, as if through an intercom.
We have your weapons. They're in safekeeping.
Kit? Is that you? Where are you?
Congratulations, Aaron and Mitch. You are the two last surviving humans of planet Earth.
Last surviving humans? And just what the hell does that make you?
Who I am is not important right now.
Sure, seems like it is.
All will be explained in its time. For right now, we must proceed with the final phase of the experiment.
Experiment?
What are you talking about?
A trapdoor opens up in the center of the floor. A small elevator platform rises up and reveals a very shiny, very sharp knife on the surface.
We are seeking only the strongest of your species, best adept for long-term survival. According to our research conducted by observing humans over hundreds of years, the strongest of your species with the highest probability of survival are the ones who are best equipped to eliminate the others. After conducting my own independent study by living amongst your kind in dire conditions, I have found this to be accurate. Therefore, only one of you can be the strongest, and thus Earth's last surviving human.
You want us to kill each other?
The final phase of this experiment is to determine which of you is the stronger and thus most adept for survival. In order to complete the study, you must compete in your species' self-devised ritual to determine which of you is the stronger and thus most adept to survive.
End of part two. This piece contains adult language and violence, which may not be suitable for younger audience members. The Enigmatic Invasion, part three. Finale, written by Will Taylor. A dimly lit, steel enclosed space. A platform rises up out of the middle of the floor with a shiny, sharp knife lying on its surface.
The final phase of the experiment is to determine which of you is the stronger and thus most adept for survival. In order to complete the study, you must compete in your species' self-devised ritual to determine which of you is the stronger and thus most adept to survive.
Mitch and Aaron look at each other, then at the knife in the middle of the room. Mitch takes off, darting after the platform. Aaron takes off after him and tackles him to the ground.
Come on, Mitch, we can work together here. What if we don't have to kill each other to make it out of this?
Are you deaf?
He breaks free and punches her down.
That's exactly what we have to do.
Again, he rushes for the platform. Aaron recovers quickly and grabs him from behind. They struggle across the room until she forces him up against the wall.
Let's think about it first. Use our brains instead of our weapons for once. You've got to be tired of blood.
Mitch escapes her grip. Again, he beats her down and rushes for the platform. This time, he makes it. He picks up the knife. Aaron climbs to her feet. They face each other.
Look around you. No doors, no windows, just walls. Walls and some voice. Though God knows from who. And saying that either one of us is going to have to kill each other or neither of us is getting out of here alive. What choice do I have?
That's what we have to figure out. And if we don't put down the weapons long enough to think, then we don't have a chance.
Looks like I have a chance.
We haven't talked. We haven't looked around. We haven't tried. We just went for the weapon as soon as we saw there was one.
Makes sense to me.
I am not your enemy. I never have been. I've been right by you all the time. Are you prepared to kill me because someone who kidnapped us says it's the only way?
Mitch swings the knife at Aaron. She dodges the swing.
You have a choice here.
Damn right I do. I'm not as stupid as you think. You're trying to get inside my head.
What?
Soften me up with bullshit. As soon as I let my guard down, the knife will be in your hands.
What reason have I given you not to trust me?
There doesn't have to be a reason. We're people. It's the way we are. It's how the world works. This is what happens when you can't accept that.
Mitch rushes Aaron. He throws several swings and thrusts with the knife, all of which Aaron dodges and deflects. He backs her up to the wall and throws a stab at her throat. She catches the blow and holds back his arm with all of her might, keeping the blade only centimeters from her neck.
Give us a chance here, Mitch. Give yourself a chance.
I'm taking the only chance I get.
In a single stroke, Mitch pulls away from Aaron, winds up, and delivers a powerful thrust with the knife. Also, within a single stroke, Aaron stops the blow and disarms Mitch with ease and swiftness, as if she could have all along. And for a tense moment, she holds the blade to his throat. She throws the knife down at Mitch's feet.
Do it.
What?
It's all yours. Go for it.
She backs farther away from the knife until Mitch has an insurmountable advantage.
I mean it.
Mitch grabs the knife.
What are you trying to pull?
You heard her. We're the last ones left.
Yeah, we made it. So.
Yeah, we did. And what does it matter now?
You're crazy.
Tell me a joke.
What?
I'd like to hear a good joke right now. You know any?
No.
You've never told a joke before?
I can't think of any.
That's what I was afraid of. No more jokes. No more laughing. No more family, people, sunsets, oceans, good sushi. Just me. That's the difference between you and me, Mitch. I'm not going to kill anyone for that. Not even you. It's not worth it.
You're insane.
Maybe. Whatever. There's nothing to go back to. I don't care to go back.
I mean, she could be lying.
You want to survive or not?
You know I do.
Well, here's your chance. Take mine. It means a lot more to you than it does to me.
You're for real right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
But what if it is worth something?
I hope you find what you're looking for.
I'm not really sure what I'm looking for.
Yeah, neither was I until the day it was gone.
Funny how that happens.
I know.
I didn't want it to end like this.
I know.
And I am really sorry.
Was my choice.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah?
What's the difference between 365 used condoms and a tire?
What?
One's a good year, the other's a great year.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it used to be my favorite.
Thanks for that.
See you on the other side?
That'll be awkward.
Oh, fuck off.
It's been real, Mitch.
Yeah. You happy now, Kit?
I'm not. Experiment Earth has failed.
Oh, for fuck's sake! What are you talking about now? Can I at least get some goddamn answers, finally?
Very well.
Who are you?
In your language, we're called the Elmist, the oldest, most intelligent, and most advanced species in the known universe.
Well, I haven't heard of you.
That's because you are none of those.
Now you're starting to make sense.
For centuries, our kind has been charting the known universe and studying its inhabitants. As the universe expands, we aim to expand with it.
You mean destroy it?
No, to master it.
Well, you sure did a number on my planet.
Again, no, you did.
Are you shitting me? After incinerating everything, piece by piece?
Our biomechanically engineered war drones were designed to overpower humans only physically. Their numbers were few, minuscule compared to the human population, but also their intelligence is purposefully limited by their programming. Human intelligence, on the other hand, our research indicates there's no ceiling on, but your survival instincts seem to trigger an adversarial response towards each other.
I don't understand.
This is a serious evolutionary dysfunction. Humans display a fixation on the preservation, even prosperity, of the individual, making a select few of your kind very strong, but the survival of your species as a whole, unlikely.
Fine. Whatever. Humans suck. This isn't news! You come all this way to figure that out? What's it to you?
We've discovered a brand new galaxy, one that has yet to be populated. It is our mission to expand our rule into this new frontier. We are seeking the universe's strongest species to send into the new galaxy and adapt and colonize its planets on our behalf.
Why can't you do it your damn selves?
Conditions in previously uninhabited environments are harsh. It takes time and trial for a species to adapt and ultimately survive in the long term. These experiments, our search for an invasive species, is the solution to the expansion of our kind without sacrificing any other.
So that's it? That's what this was all about? You were testing us?
Experimenting.
I ran from one wasteland to another, looting, getting shot at. I fucking killed people. So I could be some kind of guinea pig for a bunch of aliens trying to expand their territory.
Don't fret, Mitch. You will no longer be a part of the experiment. I'm declaring humans as unfit for expansion.
Why? I played your damn game! I fucking killed my... You mean to tell me after all this that I'm unfit for your science project?
We need species who will adapt, colonize, and survive in the long term as a group. The last surviving one, or even the few, have no chance and is therefore useless to us.
What the fuck? If you knew that, why did you make me kill Aaron?
To ensure that our data was conclusive.
What happens now?
The platform which once displayed the knife sinks back into the center of the floor. A much wider trapdoor opens. One of the humanoid bots rises up into the room on another elevated platform. Mitch retreats to the back of the room, brandishing the bloody knife.
All unfit specimens remaining at the end of an experiment are to be euthanized.
Wait,
The bot fires a laser beam. Mitch is incinerated. The end.